when God renamed Jacob, he called him Israel. Why? Because he said, you have fought with God and men and prevailed. God saw something else in Jacob. He saw a fighter. He saw someone who was persistent, who wanted the right things, even if he went about it the wrong way. I recently re-watched the film Avatar, the first one, and there's a people group in there who greet each other by saying, I see you. And it doesn't just mean, I see you in front of me physically. It means, I see who you really are. I understand you. I acknowledge you. It can even mean, I respect you. I care for you. I love you. And when God names us, he really sees into us and he says, I know who you are. And also, as I mentioned, you know, a name can also convey a character and a destiny. God gives us a unique combination of gifts and skills to serve him. Now notice again, these are gifts. They are received, not achieved. So we have an identity that is not earned, it's received and not achieved. Secondly, this identity is one where really it's only God who is the validator, whose opinion counts. We often look to people to give us a sense of worth, to have a sense that we matter. But the problem with that is that people can misjudge us. They can hurt us with their comments, either intentionally or unintentionally. And if you depend on human opinions and human validation, even if it's a very positive one and it's true to who you really are, when that person dies, what happens then? You have lost your validation. And also, you know, some people kind of in a self-help way try to tell themselves, I'm worthy, I'm worth it, I am a good person, I'm worth knowing, I have these or that ability. But this doesn't work either, because we were actually created to be validated by someone else, for someone else to say you matter and you are worth something. And notice in our passage again, Isaiah 62 verse 3, God says, you will be a crown of splendor. You will be a royal diadem. In other words, we are God's treasure. Can you imagine that? God saying, you are my treasure. You will no longer be called deserted, desolate, forsaken, lost. But you will be called Hephzibah. And Hephzibah in Hebrew, it's a pity that the NIV doesn't translate it, but it means my delight is in her. Her meaning the city. The city in Hebrew is a feminine word. That's why it's using the feminine. So God is saying, my delight is in you, my people. Doesn't that humble us? There's nothing we can do to earn it. But it also can give us great confidence that God delights in us. And we belong to God. We read in verse 5 that as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. And in that relationship of mutual love and commitment, that's where we find our identity. And you can probably see now why we had the gospel reading, the wedding at Cana, how it connects, because this is the first sign Jesus has done, and it points to the marriage banquet between Jesus, the bridegroom, and the church, his bride, his people. And I only want to draw out two points from the gospel reading. The first is that when the hosts run out of wine, Jesus makes better wine. Our love, our human relationships are only a faint shadow to the reality of what we have in God. And Jesus, in effect, is saying, the best is yet to come. And secondly, if you read through the passage, I don't know if you've noticed that in the reading, there are six water jars for purification. Had about, you know, the scholars estimate, various estimates of how much water was in these. But according to one estimate, it was about altogether 500 litres to 750 litres. Imagine that, all of that water turned into wine. Now, wine in the ancient world was not as potent. It was a lower alcoholic content. So this isn't about getting drunk, but imagine 500 to 750 litres of wine. It's plentiful provision. What God gives is more than enough. The best is yet to come, and what God gives is more than enough. So how do we get there? We may know in our hearts, this is our identity. We are children of God. Our worth comes from Him. But we don't always feel it. And when people offend us or say something hurtful, that's more real somehow than God's, "My delight is in you." So what do we do? Well, as I said, it's a lifelong process, so it's not an easy fix to deal with it. But what you will feed will grow. If you dwell in your heart and stew over what people have said about you or what they did to you, you won't have your identity in Christ. You will be filled with thoughts of what other people think. Our identity in Christ grows both as individuals but also as a church community when we pray together, when we read scripture, especially Bible stories. I find, you know, often as you read, you see how God's grace transforms people. Our faith and our identity in Christ grows by reflecting in our own lives what God has done for us. Hearing testimonies from fellow Christians can also help. And sometimes also singing can bring a whole different dimension and reality to us about God's grace. So there are no quick and easy ways. We have to taste and see that God is good. We have to taste and see that identity. But when we do, we'll be humbled by it and won't have the need to put other people down to feel better. And we will be confident because we are loved, we are valued, we know we matter, we have worth, and we don't have to constantly prove to ourselves or to others what we are worth. And we don't have to fear about performance. It is an identity that we can't lose either because God is faithful. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this amazing gift that you want to give us, our identity in you, that you delight in us, that we have worth and value, we have a destiny. You've given us gifts and skills to do your will and serve you. And we have a relationship that can deepen with time. And we know that the best is yet to come. Lord, help us to live out of this relationship with you and live out of this identity, knowing that you loved us so much that you gave yourself for us. In Jesus' name, amen.